What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Alright, guys. Holiday season is upon us, which means Jillian is busy as fuck. I assure you, she's still on this show. I just don't know when the next time she'll be on the show is. Does that make sense, McMullen?
It does, and no one wishes her a safe return more than I.
That's because then you wouldn't have to be doing the show anymore.
Very true.
Let's just get right into this, because last week we went on that huge divergence on Gremlins 2, which, while funny, doesn't really fit this show.
That's what all the people that didn't vote for legalization, that's what the kind of thing they were afraid of, and I guess I can kind of see it now.
Oh, well, to be fair, not really a story, but a place very near you got the first recreational dispensary license for pot. I think a road trip for McMullen's in order.
I think it's very much in order. I'm planning the tour now. Like, I want to do a comedy show in every town on the way to fucking Central City. It would be awesome.
No, you should do a show in every pot dispensary.
Oh, that would be really awesome.
Who laughs at bad jokes more than stoners?
Nobody.
Isn't that how SpongeBob stayed on the air all those years?
I think it is. I mean, Doctor Who has been on the air for 50 goddamned years.
Our actual first topic will be this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard!
Charlie, do you know what the Sovereign Citizen Movement is?
I do not.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Okay, in case the audience doesn't either, this is something that started as an internet joke. Literally, this started on a satire website, as so many of our stories, Charlie, tend to do.
Right.
We look to the satire sites. The Sovereign Citizen Movement are people that are saying, I am a sovereign citizen of the nation of Carl or Jim or whatever their name is. U.S. law is no longer applicable to me. I can do whatever I want. I am a sovereign citizen who no longer has to abide by the laws of the United States.
So in layman's terms, this is like the Aryan bad guy from Lethal Weapon 2.
Kind of, yes. Except okay. He had diplomatic immunity.
He did.
This started as an internet joke. And unfortunately, some crazy people, a growing number of crazy people, have decided that this is a good idea. That I am a sovereign citizen of the United Nation of Carl. Hmm. And what they're doing is... they're violating U.S. law all over the United States and Canada. Yes, even Canada's got these nuts. They think the law no longer applies to them. A man is going to abandoned houses, and keep the word abandoned in quotes, okay, Charlie? This, like the house he did this to that they're running the story on, the people went out of town for 2 weeks to take care of a sick relative in another state. He decided they abandoned their house. He filed a quiet order to put it into his name, and he says... he now owns this house, and as a sovereign citizen, the U.S. government can do nothing about it. He's had all the locks changed.
What the fuck, Ohio?
He's done this to 12 other properties.
God damn it.
And I've said, this is a growing movement. This is a growing movement of people up in Canada. There was a guy that rented a house from a woman, and while she was out shopping, he had all the locks changed and declared it his embassy, and that he is a sovereign citizen of himself. And now the house and all of its belongings are his.
That's how much our justice system has been perverted. We talked a little bit about this last week. But because of all the laws and because this is the most litigious nation on earth, that kind of shit is possible.
Well, no. Even the FBI says not a single one of these will ever hold up in court. Problem is, you're going to be spending the next 5 years in court trying to stop this asshole who just literally comes into your house when you're not home and says, it's mine now!
But how long did he manage to hump that along? Like, it sounds like it held water for at least a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. The family wasn't able to get in. They came back home and were like, why don't our locks work? He called the cops on them to have them removed from his property.
How long was it?
2 weeks.
Holy shit! 2 weeks!
And, okay. And he had all their stuff that he didn't want sitting out on the lawn.
Okay, so
he was just basically, this is mine now. Go find your own new house. I claimed this property. You know what I want to see happen to these sovereign citizens, Charlie? Hostile takeovers. I want to see invasions.
That's the next logical step. I would like to point that out, though, that it took 2 weeks for us to do enough research to determine that that was illegal.
Well, because that's the thing. He went to the courthouse and filed papers that he, as, you know, the nation, the sovereign citizen of whatever his name was, that he is now taking out a lien on this property. And the court basically said the court didn't bother to look into it, that the property wasn't actually abandoned, because you can legally do that. If you find abandoned property, you can have it turned over to your name. But abandoned is not, we went out of town for 2 weeks.
That's
not abandoned.
That is a gigantic swinging sack on this guy to try this.
He's done it to 12 other homes.
Holy shit.
And he's being sued by all these people, and he sees himself as the victim.
Of course he does.
Like I said, this is a growing movement, Charlie. I have seen story after story. I'm talking reputable news organizations. We're not talking Fox News or MSNBC. We're talking, you know, your local NBC affiliate or your local ABC affiliate and whatnot. Of sure. These sovereign citizens, these nutballs that think, you know what? U.S. law doesn't apply to me anymore because I say so. So isn't there something inherently wrong with this, that what started as an internet joke is becoming a disturbing reality?
There is a lot wrong with this. But I mean, I still think the broader issue is that I'm not suggesting like anarchy or anything like that, but our legal system could use an upgrade, or at least a going over something. This is the kind of shit that happens when you become the most litigious country in the world.
Speaking of that, let's go into our next topic. Now, Charlie, since you and I are such raging atheists, internet troll.
I don't believe in internet trolls either.
Well, then they don't exist. So, in Kansas, of course it's Kansas. Why wouldn't it be Kansas? The Kansas Board of Education. Again, these are the people who should be fighting for education, right? Board of Education is suing because they want atheism classified as a religion. So then, therefore, the teaching of evolution would be a violation of separation of church and state. So they're basically going sour grapes and saying, if we can't teach creationism, then you can't teach evolution because atheism is the same thing as having religion.
I'm allowing that to sink in. This is just the most unpredictable future that could have ever happened. Because I'm, just in case some people in our audience don't know, I'm going to try to drop some history here. Now, I'm just going off of memory. I assume you know the facts, so correct me if I'm wrong. But Kansas was the location of the Scopes monkey trial.
I'd have to actually look at that, but you're in the right area.
Okay. If not Kansas, then someplace that might well have been Kansas, for all they knew. But
I haven't read Inherit the Wind in a long time, okay?
But at some point, Clarence Darrow got the head of the Board of Education on the stand, talked to him about evolution, and at some point got him to admit that he was not an animal, but a mineral. Fast forward to 2013.
That's why Clarence Darrow was a genius.
Clarence Darrow was the shit. But, I mean, to a certain point, it must have been fishing like fish in a barrel. Because now, fast forward to 2013, the exact opposite bizarro universe version of that is happening.
And it's kind of sickening. We talked about how in Texas, the school board wants to put intelligent design into the science textbooks as an alternative theory. And as I pointed out many times, you don't get to choose what is a fact or not. You don't get to say 2 + 2 could be 4, could be 5 also. You know, facts are facts. You don't get to pick and choose which fact you want.
Once something is proven, it is a fact. There is no longer any room for debate.
And the beautiful thing about a fact, it doesn't care whether you believe in it or not. It's still there.
Right. Not believing in it does not make it go away. It's not like Freddy Krueger or Jesus.
But here's the larger question I want to talk to you about. Why does it seem that, and I will qualify this, I am not talking every religious person, okay? I'm talking religion as an institution. I want that differentiated. Why does it seem that religion is the belief system of anti-education, of anti-logic, of frankly stupidity, of saying, I choose not to believe what I'm seeing in front of me because I would rather believe this? Isn't that anti-reality?
No, I think that's fine. I mean, it is anti-reality. No two ways about that. But I think that's fine if they say, I choose not to believe this. I choose to believe this, so I'm going to tra-la-la-la-la. Where I think religion goes wrong is saying, I choose not to believe this, So I better not fucking see anyone else believing in this, or I'm going to shoot them outside of a clinic. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's where religion goes wrong.
What about this whole thing of having atheism classified as a religion? Because, I mean, technically, it's kind of a clever angle because it's so stupid, you would have never seen that coming, right?
That's very true.
So in a way, it's so stupid, it's clever. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So my question to you then is, what right-thinking person, and I'm sure I have to qualify again, we're in Kansas here. What right-thinking person would say, you know what? Atheism, which by definition is belief in no religion, is a religion.
Yeah, it did not register. Those words in that order, my brain does not accept.
But then why are the religious people so afraid of learning? Why are they so afraid of education? Why is it, and again, I am using the term religion as the institution, not all of the individuals within that institution. Why does it seem to be the most uneducated, the dumbest, the most harebrained people in our American culture are those that follow the tenets of the Bible?
I don't know, man. I mean, they take things too seriously. I mean, it's that concept on a much more violent and horrible scale.
Because, I mean, there are even schools right now that are being challenged on science because, according to the Bible, God makes gravity. So, therefore, science teaching how gravity works using the scientific method is anti-God. So they're trying to get gravity taken out of schools. That it seems to be everything that does not go along with your little fantasy. And that's what it is. You've got dragons and omnipotent beings and floods and two of every creature. I'm sorry, it's a fantasy. You have to accept the fact that science is real. We can prove science. That right. Doesn't mean you can't believe what you want, but it also means you do have to believe what is right in front of your eyes.
Yes, I'd be inclined to agree with all of that. I mean, this is another you and me preaching to the choir back and forth at each other kind of topic, but that's okay. I mean, it brings up just sort of what I'm trying to find a nicer way to say, because I don't want to come off as a militant atheist, but for as long as there's going to be people, just a society living on Earth, there are always going to be individuals that will believe what they can prove. I mean, it's not an issue of faith. It's just an issue of just basic common sense. Some people just operate on that. Hell. And there's always going to be people like that. And I think what the religious groups and I don't know, I'm trying really hard not to include everybody, because there are some religious people that are the smartest people in the world. And I get it. I like the way they look at the world. But there's always going to be militant religious people that are just trying to fucking bend everybody so that they can control everybody. And it's reasons, like the reason people do that is just the human condition of the lust for greed and power. That's what religion is to someone who doesn't believe in God. It's a lot of people trying to control everybody so that they can benefit from it. And there's always going to be people that don't really approve of that.
Would this be like a sub-dom relationship where God would be the dom and all the people that want to be ordered around and be told what to do and be told when they're naughty, they are the sub in this whole culture of S&M?
Yes. The sub
so
that gets
is the Bible the S&M of religion or of religion?
I think that's a very valid allegory, Josh. I mean, the sub in this metaphor is the kind of person who just does not want to deal with reality. It's the people that are really faithful, who get really into it, they don't like the idea that all of this shit is just random. There was a big bang, and that life on Earth was from millions and millions of years of evolution. There's some people, it threatens the comfort they get from having faith. And I don't think there needs to be a feud between believers and non-believers anymore, because there's always going to be a lot of each side.
Okay, well then, what about moving into the next tenet of this? A preacher found at a Costco the Bible was classified as fiction, and he threw a shit fit over that. And the same thing happened. Have you seen the trailer for that new Russell Crowe movie, Noah?
Yes, I think it did.
these same people threw a shit fit because that is being categorized as a fantasy film.
Right.
They literally wanted it categorized as a docudrama.
Well, then you have to categorize Battlefield Earth as a docudrama, and fuck that.
But my question is, the Bible is fiction. Even if you believe in God, in the tenets of the Bible, you can't tell me that you are a sane person and you believe that Noah fit two of every creature on Earth, including insects, and only one of each, one male, one female, which would technically be for a thinned-out bloodline because the bloodline would go nowhere, but oh no, sorry, science shows us that's how that works, but that he fit two of every animal into this giant TARDIS that he floated around because the Earth flooded for 40 days and 40 nights, which again, science has proven that that faithful flood never actually happened, let alone the size that would have been required of this ark to have two of everything and no crossbreeding. Because you tell me, like, the tigers weren't going to be eating the guinea pigs and shit like that? And then you've got two-headed dragons, and you've got chimeras, and you've got fire from heaven, and you've got devils, and... Really? This is not fantasy?
Right. And there had to have been enough room on the boat to raise crops to feed two of every animal in existence for 40 days.
So, I'm sorry. You can believe what you want. You can believe in the Bible story. It is fiction. It is. It's fiction the same as Left Behind.
It's based on your beliefs, but it's not to be taken literally. I mean, I don't fucking take the Constitution literally. I mean, the way the time that shit like that was written, you can't take it that seriously this far into the future. Time changes society. That's another scientifically proven fact, but it was a different world back then. It was not. I mean, shit like that does not just stop happening. Shit like that would be happening now. It would be raining frogs every day.
Do you think then that this preacher was just looking for something to get offended by when he was at Costco and just went, fiction, 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 son of a bitch?
Yeah. I mean, most people that raise these kind of protests, I've always thought, regardless of religious beliefs, they're just people that did not get enough attention as a child and they want more.
The Bible is fiction. They are allegories to the tenets that they want to push on you. And if you want those tenets, fine. But that does not change the fact that they are allegorical and therefore not true. Because this is what I don't get. And it tends to be like this. Not always. There are always going to be exceptions. But people believe in the Holy Ghost and the Spirit and Jesus coming back after 3 days. And the three-headed chimera and the 40-day flood, but the idea of intelligent life on another planet, you're a nut.
It's the same things that Christians say about Scientology. It's like they'll look at Dianetics or something like that and say, okay, so evil Lord Xenu dropped a bunch of imprisoned souls into volcanoes and blew them up with atom bombs. That's just fucking ridiculous. I'll just go back to this book with water turning into wine. And two of every animal living in perfect fucking harmony for 40 days.
Yeah, that's my point exactly, Charlie. The Bible is fiction. If you choose to believe it, fine. I know people, unfortunately, who believed in Twilight. That doesn't mean it's real.
Right.
Doesn't mean it really happened. I know people that believe that the Holocaust didn't happen. I know people that are Holocaust deniers just because they fervently believe it. And it's written in a book somewhere. Does that mean that automatically it's true?
No, it doesn't. It means that people are subject to insanity. And it happens to a lot of people, whether they're willing to acknowledge it or not. And we're a little bit more laid back in Colorado. We don't really have Holocaust deniers here. I knew a guy who was a Holocaust museum denier. Like, I had been to the museum, and it was really nice, and he thought it was too expensive, and it just went from there.
That was a terrible joke. It really was. On that note, we're going to take a break. I don't need to be a global citizen, 'cause I'm blessed by nationality.
Hey, you guys, welcome to the Thanksgiving episode of Heart Attack in the middle of a what the fuck moment. I'm Hart Fisher, and with me is Josh Hadley.
Indeed. And I want to talk about the Bible. It's fiction or non-fiction. Yeah, Hart was laughing his ass off when I brought him this story. Before you and I discuss it, the meat of the situation is a Costco labeled a Bible in the fiction section, and a preacher found it, took a photo of it, and it blew the fuck up. He's all offended that someone would say the Bible is fiction, blah, blah, blah. And it's not just this. Have you seen the trailer for that new Russell Crowe movie, Noah?
Mm-mm.
You know, it's a big CGI fest, and it's got demons and monsters and the hand of God and everything.
Oh, boy.
Certain Christians are yelling that it's being labeled fantasy. They wanted it. Seriously. They want it put in the documentary category.
Oh! All right. For all you Jesus freaks out there, let me help you guys out with a little history lesson, okay? For those out there who do not know how the Bible came into creation, not one word of the Bible was ever written by Jesus, okay? None of the Bible was written by Jesus. I know they try to make you think he did, but it was all written by guys after he died, okay? So all the chapters, the book of Luke, the book of this, the book of that, the book of this, there's no book of Jesus. He didn't write any of this. He didn't write any of it. In fact, a lot of it was written like 100 years after his death. And in fact, what most people don't even understand about Christianity is, let's put it this way, it's a Middle Eastern religion created by the Jewish people. Okay, so if you're some kind of Nazi asshole who's got a problem with the Jews, but you worship a Christian God, Jesus was a Jew.
King of the Jews?
Jesus was the king of the Jews, guys. That's what he was, all right? So let's continue with this little history lesson, folks. There used to be many, many Bible stories, because in the old days, there was no Twitter, there was no internet, there was no TV. People had to entertain themselves. And at that point in time, a lot of religious figures were considered like fiction. They were considered like the bestseller. So the Bible was a bestseller. So they'd find out that there's a guy in there and they go, you know, we don't know much about Paul. We need Paul. Let's talk about Paul. Let's fill in the blanks on Paul. So they write their stories about Paul, or they write their stories about Luke. It's all because people wanted to hear more about this character or that character. It used to be a library of books was Christianity, folks. And then later on, Constantinople, I believe, was the Roman emperor who put together the Bible you're probably reading right now and think is actual truth.
Yeah,
because what they
did
is
called like the New Times Roman edition or something.
Well, you've got the King James Bible, which was all changed by a king. Then we've got the Roman version by Constantinople, because he needed a religion to keep his kingdom together. It was fragmented, and he was looking for a new thing to keep the people occupied. So Christianity, he got all of the various sects together, and they all had a bunch of meetings, and they, the men, not God, the men decided what would be in the Bible and what would not be in the Bible. So you tell me, Josh, sound like fiction to you? Or does it sound like a fucking documentary?
Well, to me, I know it's fiction, because science has already proven that the Bible is fiction, that the age of the earth in the Bible is fiction. They've proven that Jonah could not have lived inside a whale. They've proven that the Noah's Ark never happened. They have proven that the flood never happened.
Well, if you talk to a Jesus freak, Josh, the reason Jonah survived the whale was the miracle of God. So of course science is going to doubt that, because it was miracle. It was magic time. So that's the funny thing, is the Bible encourages magical thinking. Magic time. My magic guy.
There are three-headed dragons in this, and they're trying to say, no, nonfiction, because that's what I believe.
So I laughed my ass off. I thought this was pretty goddamn funny. What a great Thanksgiving segment, huh?
Yeah, and it even gets better, because this has been sparking debate all over the country about this, about people talking about whether the Bible is fiction or not. And what's funny, let's go back to Texas from last week, even though it doesn't involve the same thing. In Texas, remember, they were the religious fundamentalism was trying to get science books labeled as not science because they conflicted with the Bible. So what they're saying is, all that stuff you can prove, That is up for debate. All this magical shit? Nonfiction!
All because they said so. You know, I've got a family member that is running to be a judge in Texas. And it kind of cracks me up because it, you know, she was the one who could barely get into fucking college. She couldn't even get into the college that I went to. Could barely even pass the bar. And now she's running for a judgeship in Texas. Oh, God. I'm not going to throw her under the bus, but I don't know if I want her to be a judge in Texas. I know I haven't had the best experiences with her in my life trying to decide what I've done is correct or not. I mean, this is a person who told me that because they found porn at criminals' houses when she was a prosecuting attorney, that means that porn makes people into criminals.
That's the same kind of shit, Hart. You are a comic book guy. Have you ever read Seduction of the Innocent by Frederick Wortham?
Yeah, it's a lie.
Yeah, well, and he even came out and apologized, so I'm not going to try and vilify the guy. But his philosophy was every criminal or every juvenile delinquent he deals with reads comic books. Therefore, comic books are the reason that they're juvenile delinquents, not the other way around.
And in their religious furor, they destroyed an industry because comic books used to be one of the most well-read pieces of fiction for adults and for young adults in America. We used to all read them. G.I. Joe and World War II, the American Joes, they ran around. They had comic books stuffed in their back pockets.
Oh, yeah. Superman, Captain America, those were big jingoistic, you know, rally the troops kind of shit if you ever read those World War II era comics. I mean, you got Captain America fucking punching Hitler right on the cover.
Yeah, I know. So it's funny, you know, they want, it's all about control. Those people that say that shit, that Frederick Wortham, well, he was put to the task because EC Comics was the biggest publisher of comics, and his competition wanted to bring him down. And since they made most of their money from really kick-ass horror comics and action books and crime books, they went after him for violence and this whole juvenile delinquent thing, which is a fucking lie. You know, people that want to torture people are fucked up in the head, man. A guy who wants to get you in a chair and torture you, that's a fucked up position to be in. That's a bad mindset to be in. It's really sick. And you don't get there by reading a book, guys. A book doesn't do that to you. It's something in your head. You know, Charles Manson did not go and kill people and create a cult because of the Beatles' White Album. It's a
did
bunch
you
of
see,
bullshit.
On a side note, did you see Charlie's getting married? Charles Manson's Charlie. Getting married?
No, I didn't know that.
He's getting married to a 25-year-old girl.
So
I guess it can happen to anyone, huh?
Yeah, you know, well, he's the ultimate husband. He's in a very safe place. He's locked up in jail.
Yeah, this
well,
is also folks, the same guy who was on record saying that the best sex he's ever had was in prison. So that's a little creepy right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the Thanksgiving episode. This week's Heart Attack, the hour-long show, is kind of like a best-of kind of thing. So I'm going to push the store. If you guys have not gone to the AmericanHorrors.com store, that's AmericanHorrors.com or the 1201beyond.com store, or gone over, check it out because we got new stuff up there. There's a new American Horror shirt that should be in there by the time this goes on the air. We've got new products, new books. If you want to find out what my poetry's like, you can find it. I've got Still Dead for sale. If you guys want to get a hold of us, we're online on Twitter, Hart_Fisher. I've been trying to get on there a little bit more than normal, and we're also on Facebook. So if you want to find us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio and let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods. We really want to get a feel for what's happening in people's backyards because that's where all politics start and that's where all change starts. It starts right there with you in your backyard. I want to wish everybody out there a very, very happy Thanksgiving. I wanted to thank my wife and Josh, all the people at Jackalope Radio. I've had a really great time doing this show with you guys. I want to thank my listeners. I'm very thankful to have you, to let me blow off steam. And you guys have helped me to do a lot of good. We've done a lot of cool things out there. We've helped a lot of people. And we're going to help a lot more. So on that note, Josh, thanks for everything. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts. Now imagine your pain is a white ball of healing light. That's right, your pain, the pain itself, is a white ball of healing light. I don't think so. falling apart. This is your life. This is your life. This is your life. This is your life. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life. This is your life. This is your life. This is your life. Minute spending 1 minute at a time. You are not a beautiful and unique snowflake. You are the same decaying organic matter as everything else. We are all part of the same compost heap. We are the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world. You are not your bank account. You are not the clothes you wear. You are not the contents of your wallet. You are not your bowel cancer. You are not your grande latte. You are not the car you drive. You are not your fucking khakis. You have to give up. You have to give up. That someday you will die. Until you know that, you are useless. I say, let me never be complete. I say, may I never be content. I say, deliver me from Swedish furniture. I say, deliver me from clever art. I say, deliver me from clear skin and perfect teeth. I say, you have to give up. I say, evolve, and let the chips fall where they may.
You've got a kid.
I do.
I've got a kid. What kind of a parent are you when it comes to propping up your daughter for her schoolwork, for getting her ready to take on the world?
I just try to get her to think long term. I mean, like whenever there's like an assignment that I'll hear about that she didn't turn in and I'll ask her about it. She said she didn't want to do it. I just think long term with her. I say, look, if you don't do this now, then it's going to be harder for you to get good grades in high school. And then if the better you graduate from high school, the better the job you can get. And if you don't do that, then you're going to be broke and everything's going to suck. I just try to be honest with her, and that she seems to respond to that.
Are you the kind of parent that if she gets a C- on her test, that you're going to go freak out and blame the teacher for giving her the C- and not your daughter for earning a C-?
No. The point of a test is to find out what you know.
Well, then you are the exception.
The teacher has nothing to do with the test.
Apparently, we are raising a generation of little babies who are completely unprepared for the world. A recent Huffington Post poll found college freshmen have no idea what the real world is like, because whenever they got a bad grade on a test, Mom always made the teacher change it. Not, you need to do better, son. It's, no, that goddamn teacher's out to get you. You earned a goddamn A. They gave you a B+? Fuck that.
Yeah. That happens all the time, and the standards in American schools have been lowered to an astounding degree.
Or there was the other case where, in I think it was Virginia, a kid, and when I say kid, I'm talking 18, 19, okay? So, kid to us, a young adult took his mother to his job interview with him for emotional support, and then wondered why he did not get hired.
Okay, there's only one way that he could have gotten
hired. Hold on, I'm not done.
Okay.
When he didn't get hired, the mom called and bitched the manager out.
Ah, shit.
Mom is fighting all your battles for you.
How does that even happen?
We are raising a generation of weaklings. There was another one they refused to say what the employer was, but this has been verified that it happened. A major employer reported that during a job interview, potential employee told him that, quote, "I will have your job in 18 months. The job that it took him 20 years to build. Wonder why she didn't get hired, huh?"
Right.
That is the entitled generation we seem to be raising today, that we will hand the world to you. You don't have to earn it. We're going to give it to you.
I think part of that, I mean, at this point in history, it's 2013, about 15 to 20 years ago, there were a string of success stories that inspired a lot of people. Now, like in the arts community, there's like, let's hear your music. Not really a fan myself, but Kenny Wayne Shepherd, he succeeded really young. Quentin Tarantino, he succeeded really young.
Debatably.
Right. But like Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith, I mean, yeah.
He succeeded very young. A lot of people did that kind of thing. Fucking Mark Zuckerberg. And I think they've just...
Orson Welles took over the world at 22.
Oh, holy shit. Yes, Orson Welles especially. There was probably few and far between back then, but... I mean, there's a lot of stories like that that have inspired all the wrong people to think, well, I'm just going through the motions until my album drops or until I get a gallery showing or until my movie premiere, like shit like that. People have expectations and don't worry about the skill required to meet those.
But don't you think that that is kind of our fault as the previous generation that this whole, oh, we don't keep score when we're playing sports because then that means there has to be a losing team or everybody gets a trophy just for trying or this whole, you can be president, anybody can be president nonsense. Are we not actually kind of responsible for this?
Very much so. I mean, when you spend your early childhood like that and in your teen years thinking about the early success stories, fucking teenager now does not stand a chance of even being able to pull his head out of his ass. I mean, life is so fucking confusing for a kid now.
And I think we're not preparing them for the real world. This new generation is all about, I will have it handed to me. Part of it is due to the internet and things like that because they're used to instant gratification.
Sure.
I want to watch a movie, it's there. I want a song, I'll just hit Pirate Bay, it's there. They don't have to wait for anything. They don't have to earn anything. They don't have to work for it. So they think that they're just going to get it. It's like Tyler Durden.
God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. We're very, very pissed off.
Yep. And that's not saying anything bad about being a janitor, but most of you are never going to become more than a janitor.
And a lot of you are not dreaming of being a janitor. I mean, we'll just be real about that. There's nothing undignified about it that's actually very admirable, but it is a shitty job. But shit like that happens, and it's happening all over the place, and there's more people that have been brainwashed by however it started than there are with common sense. And that's the way the world is headed. I mean, the world is just going to get worse in that respect. I don't know what it's going to be like by the time my daughter actually enters the job market. I mean, I can't prepare her for the real world because the real world is fucking falling apart, but I can prepare her to find the best place she can in it.
Exactly. And I know I'm going to take shit over what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. We always tell kids that you're special just the way you are and that no one is better than anyone else. But I'm sorry, yes. Some people are better than others. You are not going to be able to convince me that Albert Einstein or Stephen Hawking were not better than their classmates who were just interested in cow fucking.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot tell me that these people were not better. Some people are better than other people.
Yeah. Without even researching it a little bit, I can tell you that I'm better than Snooki.
But I mean, seriously, we tell kids all the time, you are special just the way you are. Like, remember, and I'm not bitching about the campaign, but that whole It Gets Better campaign for gay students. Remember when Lady Gaga had hers that was, you're special just the way you are? No, you're not, because then if you think you're special just the way you are, what makes you want to get better? What makes you want to prove yourself? What makes you want to improve? You're going, yeah, you know what? I am pretty fucking awesome. I'm just going to stay this awesome.
I think it just started as the parents need to instill empty happiness, because in an uncertain world, that's the only kind of happiness you can really give your kid. I mean, no, if everybody's special, then nobody's special. That's a fact. But every parent wants their kid to think that they're special, because that would make life just a little bit easier. But it got out of hand, and expectations were never corrected, and the world is going to suffer because of it.
Look at it like this. If everybody is the same, then progress never happens. Again, look at someone like Albert Einstein. If he was constantly told, you are special just the way you are, Albert, you don't have to improve. You're the same as Jim Bob there sticking the glue up his nose. You guys are all the same. Would we have ever gotten the man we know as Albert Einstein? Would Mark Twain have gone out of his way to be better than his contemporaries? No, right. He wouldn't have.
At some point, Francis Ford Coppola had a teacher tell him to pull his head out of his ass, and he made Apocalypse Now. People don't achieve anything unless they acknowledge that there are things to be achieved.
We're also raising a generation of people that they have no consequences. Oh, I got a C. Mom will make it right.
I couldn't believe that job interview story you told me about. That was the only chance he could have got hired, was if he was applying for a job at Bates Motel. Other than that, no. I just cannot fathom how that could happen to a person. That's some of the saddest shit that I've ever heard.
I think a lot of this is projection. We, as the current parenting generation, we projected our fears and our failures onto our kids, in that sort of, you know how every father says, I want my kids to grow up having things a little bit better than I did.
Sure.
And I think that's the projection that we're putting onto them. We are saying, shit, they're a total fucking moron. I have to make sure that they do have a better life, which means I have to do it for them.
That's right. Hollow happiness being the only kind of happiness available. It's what I mentioned earlier.
Let's move on from this to something else. I recently read something that was really, really telling, and it actually went with something that was in the news. So this isn't total bleh.
This isn't Gremlins.
You've seen Bambi, right?
Sure.
Remember, Bambi's mom gets killed by the hunters, and kind of the villain of the piece is man, for lack of a better term. Did you know that Bambi bombed upon its initial release because, and I'm quoting here, the movie is an insult to sportsmen?
Yes.
Because they painted hunting as a bad thing, sportsmen boycotted this film.
I did know that.
That hurt me, because first of all, I don't consider hunting a sport. Okay, you are stalking an animal that doesn't know it's being stalked with technology that this animal can't even fathom, blowing its brains out before it even knows what's going on.
What are you going to hunt? I don't know. He's got a lot of stuffed heads in his office.
Heads? What kind of heads?
I don't know. He's got a boar, a bear, a couple of deer.
Whoa, you're going to shoot a deer?
I don't know. I suppose. I mean, I'm a man's man. I could go deer hunting.
A sweet, innocent, harmless, leaf-eating, doe-eyed little deer.
At least, I'm not going to go out there just to wimp out, you know? I mean, the guy will lose respect for me. Would you rather have that? What about these pants I got on? You think they're okay?
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water. Bam! A fucking bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a fuck what kind of pants the son of a bitch who shot you was wearing?
That's not a sport. Now, if the animal could shoot back, the animal could kill you, that would be more of a sport. Because, like, you know, every now and then you see one of those stories where some hunters get, you know, a deer antler up the ass when it doesn't die right away, or a bear mauls them. The animal is always portrayed as the villain.
Right.
And the hunters are the victims. I'm saying, no, bitch. Now you know what it's like to be hunted.
I, for one, would be a vehement supporter of the right to arm bears.
And you know, it comes down to, let's take the plot of the movie Predator. An alien comes down here, hunts you, sadistically. Yeah. It has more technology than you. It's better than you. It's hiding from you. You don't even know you're being hunted until your chest is being blown open. We would call that systematic and sadistic murder. But when we do it to someone else, when we do it to an elk, well, it's hunting. That's what it's for. Now, I'm not saying hunting doesn't have its place. You know, there are people that hunt for food and stuff. Fine. I'm arguing that hunting is not a sport.
Right. I would argue that. I mean, there are going to be some people that will call us out on ignorance, so I'll just try to share as much as I know about it. Hunting does have its benefits. In moderation, hunting can control the wildlife population. You have less animals starving to death and dying over a period of weeks than a gunshot to the head and it's over in a second. That is the benefit of hunting. But I will agree with you that it's not a sport, because you don't really need to have any skill in order to do it. I mean, I know what Ted Nugent says he does with his bow and arrow, but
Ted Nugent's a fucking idiot.
Exactly. Have you seen that fucking compound bow he uses? That's completely taken all the quote unquote skill out of it. I mean, and he's even a bow hunter. That's even
Hank from Dungeons and Dragons had a less complicated bow.
That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, it's not a sport because there's no winning or losing. There's no competition. And anybody can do it as long as they're willing to kill another animal. Some people are, some people aren't. That's not, there should be more of a requirement in order for it to be a sport.
Well, and then that also brings up Melissa Bachman. No, not Michelle Bachman. Melissa Bachman. It's a different Bachman, to my knowledge, totally unrelated. Melissa Bachman was the host of a TV show called Winchester Deadly Passion. She calls herself a sportsman and a hunter. And she posted all of her photos of her standing next to the lions she's killed, the bears she's killed, the alligators she's killed, zebras, elks. She's one of those people that, I'm not satisfied unless I've killed one of everything on the planet, and I'm a hunter. And
if only Noah's Ark were true.
With their corpses and shit. And I'm
wouldn't that be great for a hunter if Noah's Ark really did happen? One-stop shopping.
What happened was, Bachman never expected this backlash that she got. She's now locked her Facebook and her Twitter account. She's taken down all the photos. Of course, everyone's already copied them, so they're still, you know, once something's on the net, it's on the net.
It's everywhere, all the time.
And she basically has, oh my God, why are people so sensitive? You're smiling with your foot on the back of a fucking lion that you just blew away. And you're just going, yeah, I'm the superior race, motherfucker.
I know how to use a gun.
And I'm going, no, that's not sport. This is not sport. It is murder.
It's sadism.
You know, that's what this is. This is murder. And I'm sick of hearing it called a sport. I am so sick of sportsmen.
Yes, murder is killing something just for the fuck of it.
Because, you know, right now, as we record this, it's hunting season. And you've got all these real men that are going out and hunting these innocent animals. And again, I'm not bitching about hunting in its necessary form. I'm saying these guys call themselves sportsmen. Hunting is covered in Sports Illustrated. How is this a sport?
Shouldn't be a sport because it does not require physical prowess of any kind.
So to me, I'm just pissed that, like, this Melissa Bachman was so proud of, hey, look at this. I shot a fucking lion. It didn't even know I was there. That's how much of a sport this was. No, that's pretty much called murder.
I mean, there's serious rage bubbling just below the surface of somebody who's going to shoot something that doesn't even know it was being hunted and just lord itself over the dead carcass of a formerly living thing, just basking in the fact that that thing was alive, then I intervened, and now it's not. There's serious psychological issues happening just below the surface of these people.
Speaking of serious psychological issues, where can people find you if they choose to?
Ward C. You can find me on at Charlie McMullen on Twitter, Charlie McMullen on Facebook, and on Facebook, while you're there, Steel City Stand Up, and also www.geekjuicemedia.com.
I'm at geekjuicemedia.com as well as 1201beyond.com, and you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And buy a t-shirt. The store at 1201beyond.com is open. Buy a t-shirt for What the Fuck, Radiodrome, or any show.
I mean, just buy a shirt. Don't be a dick.
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.